Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Carl Ivanov.
Now I'm standing. We need a little bit more of Nina, please, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, she just turned up. Wait a minute. This is Nina River on guitar here. So I think they've been trying to come back and play her for like 2.5 years. I kept her tickets. These people forgot they had them. Not so long, right? Mm-hmm. I'll play a tune I wrote for a movie and they didn't use it. It's a movie called Baja, Oklahoma. It's a movie about Texas. And they wanted me to write this song, Baja, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, not Oklahoma. That would have been even harder. And I wrote it, and then they didn't use it. So I found out Willie Nelson was also writing Baja, Oklahoma. And he was in the movie, so I guess they had to use his. So I threw it on. It was on a cassette. I threw it in a basket where songs that don't get used in movies go to die. And then I remembered, you know, no one saw this stupid lame movie anyway. We should learn the song. And then I realized I don't have a cassette player anymore. Then I remembered that car in the garage I refused to give up. Old Betty, my first nice car. Old Betty had a cassette player in there. So I went out there, got in the garage, shut the doors, and I don't know, I think my neighbors thought maybe I was trying to kill myself. Anyway, I was able to learn Baja, Oklahoma.
Got your dream inside.
It's Baja, Oklahoma. With Texas in your soul. So I wrote this next one about a whole bunch of guys that I went out with. Kind of wrapped it all up into one big nasty song. It's easier. Well, I wake up in the night now. Don't you know I think of you? It's that fire. Walk a straight line. I knew what I was doing all the time. There was nothing that could move me. I always held my ground. But you got me where you want me. And now you're always here to haunt me. I never really was a fan. But you got me in trouble. Los Angeles, I think in a really cool time to be an aspiring singer-songwriter. There was music all over the place. I got to hear all of my favorite acts. I got to see the Beatles at the Hollywood Bowl and see Joni Mitchell in the Little Club. So when I was about 16, I started going to the Troubadour. And during the week, the Troubadour had national acts like Judy Collins, Joni Mitchell, Tim Buckley. And they would play like for 2 weeks at a time there, two sets a night. So we weren't just sit up in the balcony and just get to study all these great acts and even get to talk to them. And but on Monday nights, the Troubadour had the Troubadour Hoot, which was an open mic night, and that was like a really cool, if you could get on it. There was all kinds of record company people around looking to sign people, and I started doing them. I was really young and scared and not really ready to make a record, but when I started doing them, Jackson Browne was doing them. He was 19, but had already written this, you know, pretty much all the songs on his first record, and he was really, really inspiring for me and for a lot of us. And he was cute too, and that didn't hurt. So, but Jackson did ultimately get a record deal, and he went off and left those nights and made records and went on his way. But I stayed around for another probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, and I did actually get signed to Columbia Records on one of those Monday nights. Somebody heard me there, and I made my first album. And when Jackson heard it, he loved it, and he sent me a telegram. Remember those yellow things? It's a long time ago. And he put me out on the road opening up for him on the Running on Empty tours, and we played all over the country to college kids, and it was really fun playing like to 10,000 college kids. But the first couple of nights I would come out and play some of my songs that Linda Ronstadt had just recorded, but I just figured people would know that I wrote them. But you know, after like the first night, I went, wait a minute, people think I'm covering Linda Ronstadt songs. I think I'm like a cover band. It was just this horrible realization. I went, oh my God, I have to tell people that I wrote these songs. And so I worked that into my act so that people would know. And you know, it's hard opening up for a really, you know, big act like that, a big hall, but people really came around to being on my side by the end of my little 30-minute set. So. Anyway, I always wanted to cut one of Jackson's songs. It's so hard to pick one because they're all so great, but this one I remember him playing when it was brand new, before it was ever recorded, on one of those Monday nights. It's called Something Fine.
Papers lie there helplessly in a pile outside the door. I try to try, but I just can't remember what they're for. The world outside is tugging like a beggar at my sleeve. Now that's much too old a story to believe. Silver mist, so cold and so clean. like an angry child will, who has asked for love and is unanswered still. And you know that I'm looking back carefully, 'cause I know that there's still something there for me. But you set me rock on, and you made me smile, and it hasn't been that easy. If you see Morocco, I know you'll go in style. I may not see Morocco for a little while, but while you're there, I was hoping you might keep it in mind to save me just a taste of something fine. Something
Anita, for learning that beautiful song in my key, not a Jackson's key, different key. Ah, okay, let me get everything in the right place here. Piano tuner moved all my shit around. Where we left it. This is a song I wrote after a big long period of writer's block. Like 8 or 10 years. I'm gonna need this one up too. And then the song just, some songs seem like they're floating around in the air, and if you're lucky, you can kind of catch them. This one just kind of arrived like that. Love. Song for a movie and they didn't use it either. And then I put it on an album and the record company went out of business. Then Linda Ronstadt called me up. She said, you know, I'm going to do this album with Aaron Neville and they're looking for some songs. Do you have anything? And I said, well, you know, I actually have something that would probably work, but I don't know, it's been kind of cursed for me. But they went ahead and recorded it, and they had a big hit, and they won a Grammy, and I stayed home and watched it on TV.
It's just like I dreamed it would be.
About a friend of mine, a good friend of mine. His name is Tex. His name was Tex. Tex was a cat, a very special cat. Tex got out one day. He was an indoor cat. He got out and never came back. But we did discover, my friend J.D. Souther and I, though, when we were trying to write a song one day, that Tex would meow a lot when he would hear music. And J.D. said to me, "You realize he's like meowing on key." I mean, I've had this cat forever. He just never noticed it. So we started like testing him out, like, meow, meow, meow. He went all the way from like C to F, like a four note range. Nothing like Mariah Carey, nothing close. But anyway, he was those really amazing cats. Probably wasn't really a cat. He was this evolved being inside of a gray-striped body.
Thank you.
Time.
Carla. Okay, so I was in a band one time called Brindle. Always a little smattering of applause for Brindle. Smattering. Brindle really should have been a super group, but our timing was off, I think. We made an album in 1970, and then we made one in 1995, and then we made one in 2005, so... long years of making records, but the one we made in 1970, we were really young and signed to A&M Records, and we made this album, and they didn't get it, really. They didn't know what to make of it. Two girls, two guys writing songs, and this was before Fleetwood Mac, and they didn't understand what we were trying to do. They had the Carpenters on their label and stuff, so... But before they dropped us, they thought maybe they'd hook us up with the Mamas and Papas producer, Lou Adler, and they had Lou Adler do a song with us. It was a big hit in Santa Maria, California. So we ended up playing in a top 40 bar called the Carolina Lanes out by the LA airport, still there. It's a big three-part Quonsy hut. And the middle is a rock and roll bar. And then on the right side is a bowling alley. And on the left side is a nude room. No. Needless to say, Brindle was Andrew Gold, Kenny Edwards, Wendy Waldman, and myself. We were, you know, Andrew was 19 at the time. So was I. But Andrew would get stuck in the nude room a lot. He was 19. We played five sets a night, Rolling Stones, Beatles. Sometimes we'd get up for that last set, and I look around and like, Andrew wouldn't be there. You know, it's like, oh, stuck in the nude room, Andrew. Wednesday night was Hot Pants night. Seriously. I'm talking 1970. When he had black velvet hot pants. I didn't do the hot pants, I just couldn't do it. But. Anyway, after a while, the band broke up, the guys went off to play with Linda Ronstadt, so we missed really singing with each other. We were a four-part harmony band, and we decided to get back together in 95 and make some more records. So I'm glad we did that. We didn't know we were going to lose Andrew and Kenny so young. Great musicians and songwriters. So I'm going to play you a tune from the last one we did, House of Silence. Wrote this with Wendy. It's called All the Way Gone. Thank you. Next song for actually for myself, but then it got recorded by Wynonna. Her producer called me up, Tony Brown. He said, gonna cut this song with Y, and thought you might want to come down to Nashville and meet Y, and maybe have dinner with Y. I said, why? No. No, I didn't do that. I went down, I met Y, and she was cool, and she said, I love your albums. My mom turned me onto them. Thanks, Y. No, she was great. She did a great job on this. But I realized later maybe the reason, part of the reason she wanted to record it is got her name in it. It's called Tell Me Why. Nina Gerber over here, who is such a great musician, so lucky to have you here. I'm sure many of you know Nina. She's playing with me for a really long time, but Nina also has some, she's a great artist in her own right, and she has beautiful CDs of her own, ones that you should definitely check out. She's got them out there along with mine, and we'll be out there later to sign them for you. But I thought it would be nice if you got to hear kind of how Nina plays on her own CDs and what it's like when you get to hear her just by herself. So, Nina Gerber.
Hello there. Hey, God, it's so dark out there. Everybody okay? You awake? Okay. Oh, no, 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 I didn't want to see them. Thanks, thanks. No, that's scary. Well, I'm going to do something that's not at all like what's on my CDs, so if you don't like it, you can still buy the CDs. As an instrumentalist is kind of, you know, well, for one thing, I don't like instrumentals, so it just, it's a rough life. Uh-huh. But, you know, I try to do stuff that has some heart and meaning, and I don't do all that flashy shit, so I got to do something slow and meaningful. And lately, I've had Ukraine on my mind a lot, and so I'm learning the national the Ukrainian national anthem, because I feel like I just want to send some love and heart their way. And, and so at the end of the national anthem part, I kind of throw in an old hippie song that maybe you guys, there's a couple old hippies out there that if you can recognize it, please sing along. And if you know the Ukrainian national anthem, you can sing on it. She woke you up.
Well, she's tuning now, I'll tell you. This next song I once lip-synced on Solid Gold. When you had a single coming out, you had to go on the shows, or you got to go on the shows, I should say, and lip sync, but some of them were a little bit weird. So I did Solid Gold. I don't think that, and the guy who was announcer on that one was Rick Smith, and he had no idea who I was. I think he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Carla Bonoff." Really psyched for my lip sync then. Then I got to do, this was really fun because I grew up watching this show. I got to go do Bandstand.
Yeah.
And Dick Clark, you know, you do your lip sync and then he comes up and does a quick interview. It's even on YouTube, you can see it. I look about 10 years old, but I'm looking at him thinking, he looks just like he did when I was 5. And then the third show I did that week was Merv. Remember Merv? Guests on Merv were me, Peter Noon of Herman's Hermits, and Richard Simmons.
Spend your days and nights alone. You think it's easy that way. That cold feeling in your bones, I said I could take away. I said, please be the one. Please be the one.
decades before Linda and Aaron cut all my life. I was out of the Brindle Band, and Kenny and Andrew were off playing with Linda, and I was still trying to write songs, and you know, hadn't really had any success yet, but Kenny would leave to go on tour with her. I would take these cassettes of mine and go, you know, maybe just, you know, slide this in Linda's purse when you walk by it. And not much would ever happen with that. But one day he called me and he said, we were at a sound check and I decided maybe I should just pick up acoustic guitar and play her your song and see maybe I could deliver it to her better. And somehow he played it for her and she totally got it, and they learned it at a sound check. And he called me and he said, we're coming back to LA, finish this big tour, and they put it in the show. So in the meantime, I was writing songs, but cleaning out litter boxes in a cat kennel for my job. On the news of that, her doing my song, I decided I could get brave and quit my litter box job. So anyway, she came to the Universal Amphitheater and played this song and just kicked it out of the park. So it was a great moment for me, one where I knew things were going to change a little. It's called Lose Again. Thank you. guys for holding on to your tickets, those of you that did for 2 years, and remembering you had them. And those of you who came along new, keeping these music places alive is important, so I'm really happy we're all still here. And I especially want to thank Nina Gerber on guitar.
Yeah.
so much. Amanda Gerber on guitar. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for staying up late. I'd be asleep by now if I were. That's okay.
Thank you.
So, I got to take guitar lessons when I was a teenager from a great musician, Frank Hamilton. He was in the Weavers on and off, and he taught in this little guitar store in the heart of Hollywood called Barney Kessel's Music World. I was really lucky to take lessons from him. He was just a great resource for folk music and amazing stuff. Taught me this song. It's an old English, it's an old Scottish folk ballad. I put it on my second album, and I was lucky enough to have James Taylor and J.D. Souther and Garth Hudson play on it. And I asked him to come tonight, and they almost said yes, but they didn't quite. Couldn't totally get him to come, so. Anyway, it's called The Water Is Why.
The water is why I can't come so. Thank you. the sea. She's loaded deep, as deep can be, but not as deep as the love I'm in.
Thank you so much. Thank you.